Blog Talk Radio.
Of all the ideas that became the United States, there's a line here that's at the heart of all the others. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security.
Hey, Jim.
People don't talk that way anymore.
Beautiful. Huh. No idea what you said.
It means if there's something wrong, those who have the ability to take action have the responsibility to take action.
Okay, I guess that's it. Oh, wow. Hey, Jim, how you doing? Hitting some dead air there. How's everything going? So what do you think? Now, do you think Obama and Hillary's really putting a hit out on Obama, calling out all her underlings, the nefarious types, to take him out in order to get the nomination? How ridiculous. Oh, my God. God.
Where did you hear this? Which radio station did you listen to?
No, it was in the papers. It was in every paper. She was making reference to running, you know, hanging in there and still running and not getting out. And then she referenced her husband ran in June. And, oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, Robert Kennedy was assassinated as he was running in June during that year he got assassinated. And they say... claim, the subtext is she's calling for him to, you know, some wacko to go take him out, you know. It's just so sick. She's out of there. She's out of there. That is my honest opinion. And yes, this is the World Brain, ladies and gentlemen, live to you on Blog Talk Radio here, hailing from the Eastern Seaboard. And coming to you, hopefully, crisp and clean. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we facing here now? This is a mockery. What these people have turned this election into. What, going on 2 years now? And have we, what, touched on any policy whatsoever other than maybe some innuendo? References to kind of like a badminton match back and forth. Oh, you can, I'm going to do this. No, you can't do that because of this. And wait a minute, whatever happened to leadership and where's the policy? Where are the policy makers when you need them other than, what, raising your taxes, withdrawing from Iraq? Oh, of course, and then they temper it with, well, maybe not right away, maybe over a period of time. These Democrats are real losers. Rush Limbaugh has mentioned it. Practically every talk show host I listen to has referred to it. They are weak candidates. They have been so drug over the coals. They've flip-flopped the gaffes, so to speak, misstatements. But one that sticks out in my mind with Obama, 57 states. I mean, is this guy sleep deprived or what? I mean, it's just turned into such a carnival-like atmosphere anymore. I'm not surprised from one day to the next what's going to happen. So Hillary is calling for the assassination of, how pitiful, how stupid is that? And she's apologizing all over herself. Why she even made a reference like that is beyond me, first of all. Where, well, couldn't she think of a less macabre reference than the assassination of a political candidate? Not to mention a Kennedy assassination of any candidate is bad enough. but a Kennedy, that's like double bad. And all the papers are the last nail in the coffin for Hillary, and that's it, ladies and gentlemen. She's toast. Or is she? Well, Obama has a, looking at it honestly and as objectively as I can, Obama definitely has lost support. Every once in a while, not that I tune into all of his stops and all of his campaigns and rallies, but I can remember, and most everybody knows, he was filling stadiums practically. People were bursting out the doors, trampling over one another to get in. And, of course, the fainting episodes early on in the candidacy, in his functions. Well, first of all, a little side note on that. I doubt if these people were fainting from the vapors of being in the presence of such a charismatic individual as Obama was coming across, that messianic aura that preceded him. That was the last thing. I spent a number of years in the military, and one of the first things when you're standing, and we used to stand inspections for hours at a time, one thing they tell you is to never lock your knees, because you're sure to faint. It reduces the blood flow, essentially. So I say these people were probably not accustomed to standing for long periods of time. That brought on the fainting episodes. There you go. The world brain had to reveal it. Oh, yes. I am live on the air, and I am, yes, not in the dead zone, and you can hear me. If you want to call in, that's 646-716-7061. If you're interested in asking a question, moving the conversation along, please feel free. 646-716-7061. The World Brain, otherwise known as Conrad, at the helm, live and in your face, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the Democratic Party is evaporating. I do not see how it is even possible that these people will start the chat session there. I apologize. This is, I'm not too hep on this. There we go. Loading. Anybody want to? Hey, World Brain. Anyway, I digress. They are self-destructing before our eyes. Is it Operation Chaos, the brainchild of Rush Limbaugh? Is it possible that this could be? Now, a little tidbit of information on that, a little side note on Operation Chaos. I did hear a report, and let me see if I can pull it up. What is it? Factcheck.org. I heard a report, or somebody was referencing what was on Factcheck, and they indicated that, that the Operation Chaos had nothing to do. Now, I'm going to pull this up. According to factcheck.org, they said Rush Limbaugh's Operation Chaos was not a factor. And I am Operation Chaos. H-A-O-S. And there's no article found. Rush Limbaugh Operation Chaos. Well, maybe that was. Maybe that was a phony report. Was it election 2000? No articles found. Come on, if it was on here, factcheck.org, if it was on here, it would have to show up. So, that was a phony report. There you go. Now, if I am searching this properly, Rush Limbaugh should come up, Operation Chaos, because the report or referenced factcheck.org. I'm here live on the internet looking at the site. Nothing's coming up. Okay, well, so much for that. So, Operation Chaos, from what I gather, as reported by Rush Limbaugh on his daily show, and he went on and on, actually, for about almost a three-week period, daily updates, almost consuming the entire three-hour programming period, referencing and talking up Operation Chaos, alluding to it. Now, if in fact that is a main factor in why Hillary is still hanging in there, and it may be, but otherwise, I mean, would she have gotten, I think it's hard to say. I mean, one of the bigger factors, I think, because it was almost around the same time or shortly before, I don't recall exactly. Sean Hannity broke the issue about the America hating, as Mark Levin refers to him, the wrong Reverend Wright. He comes up with the greatest names. Anyway, the wrong Reverend Wright. The not so right Reverend Wright. But I think those two factors in conjunction, and yeah, I'm not going to say that. I mean, not because I heard people calling in and saying that they were voting for Hillary. So, but I mean, how much of a factor? Well, I don't think the DNC will actually, if they even could determine, they wouldn't actually admit to it anyway. Hence the phony factcheck.org report. So, okay, back. All right, let's see. Oh, I got to check that. I got to get used to this, checking this switchboard. Okay, no calls. Well, actually, I mean, Memorial Weekend, most people, let me see, 3 hours behind California, they're probably in the midst of partying, out having a good time. And I hope that, in fact, is the case. We're partying for the right reasons. I saw where I was coming from. I thought it was quite interesting today. Coming from the beach down here around Seaside, and saw this elderly, well, middle-aged gentleman walking down the street. Had the coolest outfit on. Had like a Stars and Stripes shirt on with matching shorts, like a flag, you know. And he was carrying a big flag. It was so big. I mean, and the wind was really up because it was close to the bay. He was using leather gloves to carry it. So I had to stop and take a couple pictures, but fortunately, they didn't come out. But anyway, I rode by, and I blew my horn, gave him a salute. It was pretty cool. Yeah, when I asked him if I kind of circled around and went to the other side of the highway, and I asked him, I said, if I could, if he'd let me take a picture, and he stopped, cop posed too. Then I went back around because he was heading the opposite direction on the side of the road I was on. It was only one way. So I figured I'd double back and catch him again, and I disabled my flash. But he was gone. I couldn't find him. Maybe he was an apparition or something. That was weird. Where he went to, I don't know. I actually thought he was going to cross over the Bay Bridge, but he didn't do that. So. Yeah, this is the World Brain, otherwise known as Conrad. Okay, so what do the Democrats want to do? Okay, I'll give you their platform. From what I gather, the things I've heard, the sources I've been following, right now, see, Hillary wants to take the profits of the oil companies. Congress wants to essentially nationalize a private industry, i.e. the oil industry. And yeah, I think that was no mistake. That was an honest slip. She was actually being honest. She couldn't think of the word. She started to say socialize, but actually she meant to say nationalize. I think that was quite obvious. And this lady's a representative in the House of Congress. Honestly, she didn't sound too bright. In a pinch, at these mock trials, so to speak, these Communist Party type kangaroo trials for show. I am glad to hear and to see that the oil companies or CEOs, representatives, finally stood up. And it actually reminded me in a way, sort of like Howard Hughes, when he was called to testify before Congress about the military contracts that he had. He essentially handed them their hat. And that was a good thing. And what happened was a good thing, because now the issue is a national matter. It's in the public discourse. We are going, if in fact the majority of Americans were not informed on this issue, they sure will be now, at least a larger majority of them, now that it was made as public. Yeah, it was quite a pitiful display, actually, of how far we have come in politics. And it is, it's all politics now. It's not policy. There's nothing about policy anymore. And that's the problem. People are sick of the politics. It turns them off. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to hear it. I mean, why? Why would you want to hear this stuff? Why would you want to hear them come out and beat one another up? And McCain all along is doing what? He's sitting back and he's kind of pandering to anybody that'll listen, any group, organization, except Pastor Hagee, of course, which he, and that as a whole, come on. You know, and Obama jumped right on that. Oh, you see, McCain's associated with a radical minister, and of course, he was anticipating that the average person would not either be aware of the distinction between the two or take the time to find out the relative factors underlying those relationships, either between Obama and Reverend Wright or McCain and Pastor Hagee from Texas, I believe. and how that has anything to do with anything. The distinction notwithstanding, is a factor, is important, because what does it do, as I've aforementioned, it speaks to his judgment, his sense of loyalty, duty, patriotism, love for his country. A couple other little, Obama, of course. What, the flag, the lapel pin issue, not desiring to wear it until he was essentially goaded into doing it, maybe prompted by all the negative reaction he was probably getting, most likely. I mean, these people aren't stupid. And it's just about that. It's politicking. It's putting on your best face and talking about issues. Rather, the absence of speaking to issues. But when he does, it's just as bad. Talking about raising taxes, cap and trade, global warming, and the global warming thing with John McCain. Come on. Was it just recently? I heard, I can't remember who I heard talking about it, was in the neighborhood of over 3,000 scientists submitted a one-page affirmation that they did not accept the premise, which led to the IPCC's findings about global warming. And it's quite evident now, I think, and important and vital, as I mentioned, that the American people become aware of this, that they educate themselves about the importance of these issues. It goes without saying that global warming, having been deemed the largest scam to ever be perpetrated, the largest hoax to ever be perpetrated against the world, so to speak, at this point, not just America. Who was it? The Great Global Warming Swindle. If you Google it and you really want to find it, you will be able to find the Google video. Yeah, I think it runs about an hour and 30 minutes, or a little under an hour and a half, not a mistake. So, but if you watch that, it puts it all into context. They make reference to the IPCC, their report, and the scientists that were poo-pooed or dismissed because they did not fall in line in lockstep with their conclusions, their consensus, not science fact, their consensus of scientists, which is a far cry from scientific fact. The fact of the matter, yes, global greenhouse effect is a scientific reality. We all know that. Without the greenhouse effect, the planet would be essentially an orbiting frozen orb. Hence, the greenhouse's effect is necessary to maintain a temperate atmosphere around our planet. Anthropogenic global warming, or man-made global warming, cannot be proven. It is consensus. It is not science fact. CO2 is, yes, a greenhouse gas. And as I mentioned, greenhouse effect is necessary to sustain the warmth of the planet. Without it, the greenhouse effect trapping the warmth, hence, as I said before, it'd be a frozen ball of ice. The sun, yes, ladies and gentlemen, our sun releases what? 600 million tons of mass per second. If you ever went to the SOHO site off NASA and saw the coronal mass ejections coming off of the sun, the solar wind streaming approximately 1,000,000 miles per hour, distorting the very envelope that surrounds the globe, actually it's referred to as the bow shock. We're inundated on a daily basis. We're irradiated on a daily basis with the sun's warmth, the sun's radiation. So, these people who say the sun doesn't affect the climate, the warmth of our atmosphere, just don't accept science fact. It's a fact that the polar cap on Mars has been receding at a rapid rate, and the scientists don't know why. They're really curious. Some of them don't understand it. But it's the sun. It's really simple. And yes, like any star, it fluctuates in intensity. It heats up ever since it was its birth. And its radiant heat affects our entire solar system. Just who was it mentioned the other day? That Venus, the temperature of Venus has even decreased somewhat. And I would say that's largely due, I mean, just a common sense approach. Of course, if you accept the premise that the sun actually does affect the radiant warmth of our planets and our solar system, if you accept that premise, then you would conclude that if the sun just came out of a 12-year solar max phase, that means its radiant heat has been declining somewhat. Hence, the colder winter we just recently had was about 2.5 months ago that I heard them report, the climatologist reported that the sun did come out of solar max and will be cooling. So. And that one report just recently came out, the global warming enthusiast says, oh, yeah, well, global warming is going to be put on hold for about 10 years. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, of course, because they want to put forth and give momentum to their global economic policies, i.e. Al Gore's little carbon credit corporation that he has, all his vested interests. I mean, these guys are smart. I mean, you know, these are the con men of the millennium. All these guys, and everybody's green. I'm so sick of hearing about going green. That's just getting to be too much. The world brain here on the world consciousness. 646-716-7061 if you want to call in. You're more than welcome to. You want to chat or just listen. You want to hang out in the chat room, you're more than welcome. Let's see, we've got a couple visitors. Sorry, did that. But they dropped out. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ignore anybody. Anybody who's trying to call it. Well, I just get the ranting on and I just can't. Back in. Where is that one? I want to find this one clip that I have. Pardon the interruption here, but. Okay, here we go. This is the clip I want to play. It references the global warming fiasco. It makes mention about what has been left out of the climate models, which they use to prognosticate the gloom and doom of the apocalyptic future that we hold, because we breathe too much and produce too much. And here we go.
In my mind, that the large amounts of money that have been fed into this particular rather small area of science have distorted the overall scientific effort.
We're all competing for funds. And if your field is the focus of concern, and you have that much less work rationalizing why your field should be funded.
By the 1990s, tens of billions of dollars of government funding in the US, UK, and elsewhere were being diverted into research relating to global warming. A large portion of those funds went into building computer models to forecast what the climate will be in the future. But how accurate are those models? Dr. Roy Spencer was senior scientist for climate studies at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center. He has been awarded medals for achievement from both NASA and the American Meteorological Society.
Climate models are only as good as the assumptions that go into them, and they have hundreds of assumptions. All it takes is one assumption to be wrong for the forecast to be way off.
Climate forecasts are not new. But in the past, scientists were more modest about their ability to predict the weather.
Any attempt at forecasting changes of climate meets skepticism from the men who model the weather by computer.
In making decisions which affect people, a bad prediction as to what the climate of the future will be can be far worse than none at all. I'm afraid that our understanding of the complex weather machine is not yet good enough to make a reliable statement of the future.
All models assume that man-made CO2 is the main cause of climate change, rather than the sun or the clouds.
The analogy I use is like my car is not running very well. The engine, which is the sun, and I'm going to ignore the transmission, which is the water vapor, and I'm going to look at one nut on the right rear wheel, which is the human-produced CO2. It's that, the science is that bad.
If you haven't understood the climate system, you haven't understood all the components, the cosmic rays, the solar, the CO2, the water vapor, the clouds, and put it all together. If you haven't got all that, then your model isn't worth anything.
The range of climate forecasts varies greatly. These variations are produced by subtly altering the assumptions upon which the models are based.
The models are so complicated, you can often adjust them in such a way that they do something very exciting.
I've worked with modelers, I've done modeling, and with a mathematical model and you tweak parameters, you can model anything. You can make it warmer, you can make it get changing things.
Since all the models assume that man-made CO2 causes warming, one obvious way to produce a more impressive forecast is to increase the amount of imagined man-made CO2 going into the atmosphere.
We put an increase in carbon dioxide in them that is 1% per year. It's been 0.49% per year for the last 10 years, 0.42 for the 10 years before that, and 0.43 for the 10 years before that. So the models have twice as much greenhouse warming radiation going in them as is known to be happening. It shouldn't shock you that they predict more warming than is occurring.
Okay, that's pretty much the crux of it, the point I was trying to make. The clip is a little longer than I thought. But yeah, that's basically it. They go ahead and tweak these models. And another thing that they made reference to Dr. Roy Spencer, a climatologist. He revealed that they don't include the cooling effect that the cloud cover throughout the globe and the precipitation, the wind currents, the cooling effect that it has on the atmosphere. So without that, you have a flawed model. So how can you rely on a model that doesn't factor in all the vital information? I mean, that's just common sense. You don't have to be a scientist to understand that. And I can understand why these scientists, the 3,000, some odd 3,000 that recently wanted, excoriated basically the UN for their position on global warming and all the scaremongering, basically, on junk, phony science. I mean, that's where we've come to. And I mean, the big picture in the political realm, in the science realm, people are so stupid, not stupid, ignorant is the proper word. They have been dumbed down so much anymore that anything they hear, they believe it. And they're either too lazy or too dumb to do a little research on their own accord and come up with an educated conclusion on facts that are so, so critical to just our everyday life. I got this other clip here I want to play for you. This is President Bush. I got this from Politico.com. And I appreciate them for having it out there so I can share it with you if nobody's caught this. And this doesn't help issues like this. At one point, when you go making our very existence as it relates to our environment, the planet, when that becomes based on ignorance and fear, when that becomes such an issue that people are willing to glom onto anything that is somewhat credible, i.e. Al Gore, the UN IPCC phony report, things like that, if people are willing to do that, then you're in trouble. And you get leaders who are affected by how what people are thinking, what the buzz is, what the headlines are, what the perception is as to what people may be accepting to be truth on any issues, i.e. very critical issues such as global warming and the leadership of this great nation. This is Bush's comments. Here we go.
Mr. President, I wonder if in your 8 years in office, what the changes have been in your view on climate change?
Yeah. I think it's been more clearly defined as a problem, but what has changed is the realistic notion that new technologies are going to be the solution. And the fundamental question is, how do you grow your economy at the same time? And at the same time, encourage new technologies. My administration has done more for the new technologies necessary to change our lifestyles without sacrificing wealth than any other administration. Mr. President, for the record, is global warming real?
Yeah, it is real.
Sure is. But the solutions, having said that, the solutions have got to be measured and realistic. You can't have a solution to global warming unless China and India are part of any international pact. It's one of the reasons I didn't accept what's called the Kyoto Protocol and therefore was labeled as anti-environment. I'm a realistic guy. If the major emitters of greenhouse gases are not a part of a solution, then those who are part of a solution are acting in a way that's simply not going to even affect their own economies. It won't affect the overall global warming issue. I put forth a very realistic, straightforward program that makes sense. Mr. President, acknowledging those constraints, you're a well man. Some people said that climate change, global warming, could have been your necessary to actually support Michael. I mean, I could have signed it. I could have supported a lousy treaty, and everybody would have went, oh, man, what a wonderful sounding fellow he is. It just wouldn't have worked. I don't think you want your president trying to be the cool guy and not end up with policies that actually make a difference. So the policies I'm out of line are policies that will actually make a difference. Nuclear power for generating electricity, battery-driven cars, ethanol. I mean, there's a variety of initiatives, clean coal technology, all of which will help us sustain our economic vitality and at the same time be better stewards of the environment.
Okay. You said a couple of things that are quite interesting. Is, first of all, the question, is global warming real? Well, as I stated earlier, if global warming wasn't real, the planet would be a frozen ball of ice. With the greenhouse effect, it keeps the planet at, essentially, it maintains homeostasis based on all the factors, the sun, weather patterns, everything. So without global greenhouse effect or global warming, but the issue is, and they misstate it every time, they don't make the distinction. Yes, the globe has warmed, and the globe has cooled also. And it just stands, I have to reiterate this fact, excuse me, that the industrial age wasn't around back eons ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, when the planet was warming as a result of the sun. And there is a little fact that I mentioned at one point in another segment. Dr. Christie studied ice caps, the ice core samples, and determined that coming out of the Holocene period, the period of glaciation, when they were starting to melt as a result of the heat, the sun's radiant output increasing, it was 800 years after that the CO2 levels rose, because CO2 was being released from the melting ice. CO2 was obviously, there had to be vegetation over an 800-year period. CO2 was being produced by decomposition of vegetation and the like. All these factors, everything, volcanic activity emits CO2, sulfuric acid, a whole litany, a whole list of greenhouse gases. And what are we going to do? Go around the globe and cap all the volcanoes? Are we going to plug? Oh, and that's another thing. They come up with this idea of capturing CO2. Okay. You capture CO2. Well, the ideal, if you really buy into that, I mean, wouldn't it make more sense? And that is their intention. They want to stop, reduce, totally shut down industrialization of third world nations, growing economies, because they do know that fossil fuel is the oil of the global economy. It is the oil of global growth. They know that, so they want to and seek to shut it down. That's the real agenda. And in the meantime, with their phony approach to accomplishing that end, they're going to rake millions and millions of dollars under a phony premise. Now, I say, if you want to call anybody to Congress to testify, why don't you call Al Gore and all these environmentalists? And that's no secret. Why is it just oil industry that is called to Congress to testify. And basically every time they go there, they call for an investigation. Why is that? And it isn't like they haven't had them before. And have you ever heard of any findings of gouging? No, because the oil is on an open market. And it's the open market that sets the price of what people are willing to pay for such a commodity that is so critical and essential to the global economic engine. I mean, that's just common sense. And as far as price goes, the devaluation of the dollar affects the price. Supply and demand affects the price. Our lack of exploiting our own resources affects the price of oil. Not to mention the federal, state income taxes, taxes on a gallon of gas, which is the last time I heard was up and around 50 cents on the dollar. Now, with that information in hand, you know, where do we really start pointing our fingers? It definitely isn't the direction that the politicians, the Democrats in particular, want you to point. Anyway, I've gone long enough on that. I think you get the point. So let's get realistic here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hold these politicians to task. Take an active role. We need to, as citizen patriots, as people who care about reality and truth, and what happens to our country, and for that matter, what happens to the developing nations, these people who are being impoverished. If you really care, I mean, let's not hesitate to, help them with their progress, to become self-sufficient, to become partners in capitalism and in democracy, and to determine their own destiny. How else are we going to do it? Are we going to revert back to tribalism? Are we going to revert back to feudalism? Are we going to discard all the advances that we have come upon through innovation and technology and study and investment in different fields of science? There's no way. There is no way. The genie is out of the bottle. It's not going back in. That's the reality. And I think people don't like that. That is the thing. Oh, I got a temporary interruption. Sorry. So, global warming is real, ladies and gentlemen, and just as real as global cooling. So let's get beyond that. Now let's hold our politicians, as I said, to task. Let's really put them under the gun. Find out who your local representative is. Call them, email them, fax them. Find out what their positions are on these most fundamental topics, such as global warming. And whatever response they give you, have them explain why they reach that conclusion, not just jump on the bandwagon of most other people. As far as income taxes, the energy policies of our nation and the trouble we're in, the crises we're in, having been held up for all these years as testified in Congress by the oil representatives, the energy representatives from Exxon, I believe Sunoco, and
all of Shell. The CEOs were there testifying. They brought it to light, finally. We haven't been exploiting our own resources, and we need to. As soon as the word gets out that we're going to take and fix our own problem, not go crying and moaning to foreign countries about whether or not they're going to increase their production or not. What about us increasing our production? What about us exploiting our own resources? I've made reference to this a long time ago, and every environmentalist I've talked to, and I love the environment. I know we can, we have taken care of the environment as we progress with technology. That's the only way it can happen. I mean, look at these third world countries that China is probably one of the worst polluters, and they don't care. They don't care if they're pumping all this mercury into the environment, into their own atmosphere, with these coal-fired plants, one building one a month or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that's progress, but progress at what cost? I mean, we went through our period where we were just haphazardly growing without concern for pollutants and the output and the impact it had on the environment. That brings to mind the Florida Institute of Technology 10-year study they did, an independent study out of the Florida Institute of Technology. They studied the North Slope and the impact that it had on the environment. And they determined through their study that it was hardly negligible, that the environment, as a result of our advanced technology, our clean drilling technology, was near pristine. The environment were healthy and vital. And I, you know, there was a, that reminds me, you know, everybody, we're so reliant on coal-fired plants for electricity in the United States here. I thought it kind of interesting. Well, I know why, but just before Clinton left office, he turned one of the largest resources, one of the largest coal resources, low sulfur coal resources, into a national park, essentially. So it makes you wonder, why would he do something like that if they didn't know that how advantageous it was to get at something like that? And, of course, through the executive order, he did this. And this was within the last month of his presidency, I recall. And, of course, if Bush would have came along and by executive order taken it out of protected status, national park status, you would have never heard the end of it. And maybe that was a setup, a political setup that he was engineering. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that, in fact, was the case. But, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get involved. We've got to get involved with our political system. We've got to get involved, get active about putting the truth out about what's going on in our country as far as our oil, our natural resources, and our ability to do these things in a responsible manner. As far as the political stuff goes, well, as I mentioned in the synopsis of my this segment, they aren't going to be, there's not going to be Obama, it's not going to be Hillary. John McCain is going to be the next president of the United States. And I have no, I don't like making predictions, but I'm 98% sure that that's going to be the case. We're going to wind up with a McCain presidency. And I mean, this all this talk that he's out there spouting and just perpetuating this hoax. I mean, come on. Because I remember hearing him a couple months ago. He even said this in one of his speeches. He said, well, you know, on the issue of global warming, I'm paraphrasing here, on the issue of global warming, whether it's a fact or not isn't the question. It's, you know, what if it is basically correct? And now he went from that to it's a matter of fact. Now I want to know what has happened since then. Well, he's playing politics. He's pandering to the global warming crowd, knowing that the people, and it's been established, that are abandoning the Obama camp as a result of the Wrong Reverend Wright, I love that name, Wrong Reverend Wright, those people abandoning them, wanting to go to Clinton, knowing that she's a weakened candidate as well, he wants to make sure they feel comfortable vote. So he's going to cover his bases. And I wish they wouldn't do that. Why don't they stand up and say what is real, what is not? And say, make them have a debate about it. Make the politicians take a stand. And when they do, cite the exact specific reasons why, especially when you're politicizing the environment and attach that to our very survival as a human race. Now, if that's not fear-mongering doesn't exist, ladies and gentlemen. If that isn't fear-mongering. Okay, I reiterate, this is The World Brain. The segment is The World Consciousness. And yes, I am The World Brain, otherwise known as God. See, a couple interesting program notes. I happened to stumble across a couple guys, a talk show, and these guys are pretty good. And their program is called The Space Office. I happened into their program and was just looking for something light. And, well, give them a listen, Office Space Blog Talk Radio. Space Office. Funny guys. Give them a listen. They're worth a listen. They they're billed as the worst talk radio show on the internet, which I thought was kind of funny anyway. But yeah, give them a listen if you get a chance. That's Space Office. Let's see. If I can find names. Yeah, Guy. It's Guy, and he has a sidekick. Let's see. Corey and Harry and Curtis will be back. Oh, okay. Well, the way they're very fluid format they have, which I like. I do approach that the same way. It's very fluid. But yeah, you gotta give them a check out. It's Space Office Blog Talk Radio. Let me see. I posted it. Let me see if they got a comment up here. Yeah, the worst show on the web. They're actually not. They got a good chemistry between the two of them. It's a pretty funny stick. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. Let me see. I'm going to be ready to bumper out of here in a few minutes. Let me check in with the chat room, see what's going on. Hey, Adorex. Hey, what's going on, Donna? I don't think she knows, huh? Oh, Donna, that's my girl, Donna. I miss Donna. Hey, you know, Donna, I think Pho is jealous because he knows you got a thing for me, and I think this is going to become an issue. Hey, Santa Barbara, how you doing? These guys are pretty cool. Well, I'm not their most favorite person. Oh, bottom dog.
Dummy.
Ban the bottom. Ban the bottom, dog. Suddenly Susie. I don't know. Hey, bottom, I got a couple minutes at the end of my radio program. You want to come on and say something? Huh?
No.
No? You just did? But I did give you fair warning. I'm live. Yes. Hey, music, how you doing there, buddy? How you been? So, anyway, these guys.
Who's your audience?
Oh, I got a few people bop in now and then. Check it out. Well, I'm not recruiting an audience. I'm just asking if you want to say something. I don't know. I'm getting ready to close out. Matter of fact, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call it a night. And this is the World Brain, and I'll be talking to you at a later date. I hope you check out my archive segments. And this is the World Consciousness. And I'm going to bump her out here with a little bit of, let's see, how about World Brain Bumper. There we go. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
It was rare to not do the pain. Two people laughed. Two people cried. Most people were silent. Vishnu is trying to persuade the prince that he should do his duty, and to impress him, takes on multi-armed form and says, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds."
Without further ado, I'd like to introduce a young man who yesterday took our notions of reality and turned them inside out.